The Rain 2021 Audio Evolution Summit.
Thanks, Kurt. And shout out to Jean-Marie Heimrath, who's on this call. I saw our outgoing president. Yes, I'm the recent president of TPX, and I'm delighted to be here and show you all my face for radio, or audio, I should say. That's my cheesy joke of the day, but also an oldie but a goodie. But anyhow, so the topic for today, I'm just going to repeat so we can all kind of calibrate and level set, is as revenue and investment shifts in a reimagined post-pandemic landscape, we're going to talk to you guys a little bit more about exploring the changing dynamics across not only the buy side, but the agency brand side as well, and what that means as we move out of the pandemic, hopefully very soon, not for us in Canada just yet, but hopefully very soon for all of us, and we return to normalcy. So I will start with the first question to kind of unpack this particular topic, because the topic is broad and can go in many different directions. And I think in order to talk about how things are shifting from, you know, within the pandemic to post-pandemic, we should touch a little bit on, you know, what types of consumption and investment shifts, you know, both Nick, you and Paul have seen in the audio space pre-pandemic to now. So Nick, I'll throw it to you first.
Thanks, Lena. I'm very excited to be here. This is a first for me, so I'm going to shake out these nerves. So, you know, I love that we're speaking about audio today. And when we think about audio, I'm a huge believer in radio. And I feel like within the digital audio space, radio doesn't get a big enough voice. So like I do at all my agencies that I'm at, I want to speak for radio. So when we're speaking about radio in the audio space, pre-pandemic, there's a preconceived notion that, you know, nobody listens to radio anymore. It's, you know, it's dying. You know, when we're thinking about investment, year over year, there's been a slight decline, but nothing to that point of you know, a lot of people think in the industry. So, you know, pre-pandemic, it's year over year slightly declining. Listenership relatively flat. However, when COVID happened, we saw in cartooning's down, we saw about a 10% decline. But what's interesting, and what I love that COVID has brought radio into this new evolution happening, a lot of that shift went into online streaming and online listening to the radio station. So we actually saw right at the pandemic, a 11% increase. So overall, when pandemic started, we had 1% increase in listening when you combined radio and digital online streaming of the radio stations. But that being said, radio still reaches about 85% of Canadians. And once the restrictions are lifted, we're expected to see that to actually grow higher. And what's crazy is since the pandemic, so right at the beginning, it was that 11% increase. We're sitting at about a 27% increase in tuning online for the radio stations, which is great, which is amazing. eMarketer has predicted in the U.S. about a 12% increase growth for radio. And usually what happens in the United States is kind of an indicator of what's going to happen in Canada, albeit a little bit slower pace than what we see in the acceleration in the U.S. But we expect to see about that same type of growth in Canada happening here. So overall, hours may have been down, hours tuned may have been down, but once we get back into the office, people are commuting, we're all open, and we return to I think we're going to be seeing a return to pre-COVID levels, I see we're in a habit now we've been in lockdown for almost a year. We've created new habits. Consumers have created new habits. And I see that these new habits of listenership and listening online is going to continue to grow as well.
It's been like a year and a half of pandemic.
Year and a half, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, Paul, I'm going to throw to you because you have a really good global view. You know, so you've worked in the UK, you work in the US. So I'm going to throw the same question to you. What types of consumption and investment shifts have you seen from your experience?
Yeah, I think it was almost counterintuitive to witness the growth in digital audio and perhaps podcasts specifically over the last 18 months, as many may have assumed that kind of media habit was a function of the commute, where a lot of, of course, broadcast radio but obviously also digital audio listenership occurred. And so here we had a scenario where the commute was effectively eliminated, yet listenership and consumption went up. And, you know, where consumption leads, investment typically follows. And so I think that's what we're seeing across the board. And I think in anticipation of the world returning to normal, you can see companies making bets that that consumption is going to continue to curve upwards, which of course is tremendous news for the industry at large.
I think everybody's pretty happy to hear that on this call, given the space that we're in. So, you know, I'll chime in with my perspective because I like to talk. But I would say more from the seller perspective. You know, I can say for our company, for instance, 2020 was a solid year, and we have a book of business that goes, you know, across North America. Probably could be said for most audio vendors across the board, given, you know, what Paul and Nick have talked about in terms of, you know, listenership being fairly stable. You know, so from a revenue perspective, we're still seeing quite a solid year from the previous year. Obviously, everybody's hoping that 2021 is going to be a banner year for audio because we are still somewhat in this state of pandemic and stay at home and people wanting to have more content to listen to. The other interesting angle around, you know, the shifts that we've kind of seen within the pandemic is, and maybe this is just coincidence, but maybe not, is, you know, there's more choice in the marketplace. Right? Tons of consolidation. And also specifically speaking to Canada, because that's where I sit, a lot of agencies or brands are actually still discovering podcasts in Canada. The uptake hasn't been quite the same, like Nick talked about earlier, versus the US. And so for us, that's great in this market because, you know, the growth will be even larger and we hope it parallels what we see in the US. So moving, you know, so we've talked about the pre-pandemic state, you know, what that means for us, you know, into that pandemic, early days to now, you know, so let's talk about, you know, kind of, you know, other key impacts that we have seen from a consumer perspective and dig in a little bit on that, because Paul, I think you said it well, you like, it's all consumer based, like the influencing factor in how we function media is driven from that. And so, you know, the pandemic has been, you know, a transformative catalyst for consumer lives. And, you know, McKinsey had this great article, which I'm going to quote a few times in this panel. One is that this period has been referred to as a decade in days. And we've certainly seen that trickle down effect into the audio space. And so what are some of those key trends or impacts, you know, within audio that you've seen in the 18 months of the pandemic, you know, kind of outside consumer consumption and listenership? And so, Paul, I'm going to throw to you first.
Sure. I think what I've been struck by most is, on the one hand, we had this terrible period where we couldn't do what we wanted to do. And that's speaking from not just a personal point of view, but also from a business point of view. But what's really struck me, I guess the adage goes, never let a crisis go to waste. There's just been so much activity across the board, you know, on the both in terms of addressability and formats. You know, like I at the beginning of kind of podcasts a few years ago, I had kind of looked at it as almost like YouTube in the early days, where it was predominantly about how-to videos. You know, you'd go on a YouTube and figure out how to do something, and just the explosion of different formats in that audio space, you know, serialized narratives, nonfiction, wellness, ASMR, new kind of music talk show formats, which would be a new favorite of mine. So, you know, that type of innovation from the creative community has been fantastic to witness and to watch, or to listen to rather. And then on the business side, I mentioned addressability, you know, the power of programmatic as a tool and a stack, in terms of, you know, just speaking briefly for our company, you know, we're able to deliver messages to parents versus teachers for, let's say, a back to school campaign, loyalty users versus non-loyalty customers. So, you know, there's obviously a huge emphasis for brands and advertisers generally, making better use of their first, second, and third party data. And, you know, we're seeing audio as a channel step up to that challenge and, as I said, provide that level of addressability that, you know, really didn't exist before. And I think that, that the pace at which that has, those two aspects, addressability and format innovation, have come together is has been great to see and quite exceptional.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, the idea around first, second, third party data and what we're seeing in the other, you know, forms of digital display, video, et cetera, with the cookie disappearing and what is everybody going to do? I think it does pose a benefit to people in our space, you know, in terms of, yeah, being engaging, like making sure that you're contextually relevant. And so you don't necessarily need to rely on that third party cookie as much.
That's right.
So just a sub question to you, Paul, before I throw it to Nick, you know, you may have answered this already, but what is some of the best tech or new product development you've seen in the space? Is it that addressability format side, or is there anything else kind of that you've noticed that's a really good call out for us?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of innovation on the ad side. We've got, you know, branded content, which, you know, long form scripted, and semi-scripted audio formats. Acast ran a 3D audio campaign with Podchips in the UK, which, when you're in a headphone environment or use case, is really interesting and kind of stops you in your tracks. We've done a shoppable audio campaign via smart speaker. So again, you know, obviously the huge focus on D2C and on using any media channel where possible as a commerce channel. And so we're beginning to see opportunities there via smart speaker skill, Alexa skills, for example, which I think is, yeah, just a few highlights that we've seen quite recently.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear, because I don't think the whole smart speaker e-commerce side of things has really picked up, at least in Canada. You know, we assume the Amazons of the world are going to come in and drive that growth, but the adoption in our market at least hasn't been quite the same. But those are two cool ideas there that you threw out. It's interesting. So Nick, I'll throw the same question to you. So what are some of the key, you know, trends or impacts you've witnessed specifically in the audio space, coming from the agency perspective, in the last 18 months of this awful pandemic?
Well, first, you know, there's been a lot more, you know, clients coming in and really wanting to understand audio. So I'm seeing the thirst coming in from on the client side. One thing I absolutely love evolution. I love growth. I love thinking outside of the box, which, by the way, I love that idea about the smart speaker and shopping right away. Amazing. I would love for that to be here in Canada. I think smart speakers are going to be growing here. And I think, you know, I think we can come up with some really cool, innovative ideas using that tool.
we can talk after, Nick. I'll drop you a line.
Yes, please do.
Little network going on during the
exactly,
pandemic.
Right?
Great.
So, you know, what I love too, as we speak about evolution and COVID really accelerating it, just a digital transformation in traditional media. We see it with TV, linear TV and OLV, you know, connected TV. You know, it's the same with when we look at audio or radio. There's now, you know, but that push to be online and they're streaming, it's creating a foundational base for the development of audio to be a more of a mass reaching medium, including what radio does for you. You get your targetability with you know, your hyper targetability with playing and contextuality with podcasts and you know, online streaming like that. And when you put them all together and look at it it holistically, people are still consuming all of these, you know, people are still consuming TV. They're just consuming it differently now. And so we need to, you know, break down those silos, which I see happening. And I see, but the biggest thing is, you know, analytical detail on traditional media that's happening right now. You know, you got radio with, they've come out, CBS has launched Analytical Owl, Bell has come out with Veritone, you get real-time attribution, you know, and that even works on beyond the brand cell when you're looking at, you know, your custom contents or your DJ reads, and it's reading online, like actual, you're getting actual reviews from it, and something that you would not be able to get from radio in the past. And, you know, radio really has an image problem. And I love that COVID has accelerated this to really show, hey, traditional media is here, it's transforming, and it's such an exciting time in the audio space.
So it's funny because, so little tidbit, you know, Nick and I used to work together at Havas, and I've had, you know, a lot of experience on the agency side. And so that idea of looking at video holistically and stacking, you know, so stop thinking about linear TVs as just, or video as just linear TV. Somebody buys GRPs, the digital team buys OLB separately, but actually looking at it as a total video play. That took a long time for agencies to wrap their head around. And me and you were in the thick of it, we know. And so, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit around this. Do you think that adoption to the holistic approach around audio will be faster or slower, or have we learned from kind of the beats and wins of what happened with video?
Canada as a whole is slower. Let's be real here. You know, I love our market, you know, but when you compare it to the United States, we're definitely on the slow upkeep for it. But, you know, I think we're taking the learnings of stacking here in Canada with what we're seeing with TV, connected TV and those offerings. So they've come out first. And I think it's going to help accelerate thinking about audio that same way, because we've already kind of started it with TV and broadcast here. And, you know, there's going to be more and more appetite as it grows here in Canada. And I think right now that's a perfect opportunity, because we may be a little bit more behind the States, but that when you know what happens in the States is going to end up happening here, now is the time to start getting your test and learns out. Now is the time to see what works for you. So when it really starts picking up, you're already established.
So what do you think, like, I'm going to put you on the spot even more, like 6 months, a year? Like, do you see that mainstay of agency buying?
I'm going to say, I guess it's really dependent on who your leaders are in your agencies to try to push this stuff, right? I know I'm going to be a voice over at Havas saying, let's go audio. So I'd say maybe a year.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, change takes time. And I think, you know, when we see what happened with the video state with TV combined with OLV, it took a long time to, I don't know why, but I mean, behavior is hard to change. And so that's been more consolidated. It actually sets the stage, I think, in a really nice way for audio. And so let's hope for 6 months. Okay, so moving on to the next question. Again, this is, you know, you guys will find out quickly, this was my favorite McKinsey article actually during the pandemic. Very well written. One of the quotes in there was, consumer behavior changes are not linear, and their stickiness post-pandemic will actually depend on the satisfaction of the new experiences. Companies will need to adapt fast. So what are some of the key things that brands, agencies, publishers, and buyers and sellers need to really keep in mind to remain agile? Nick, let's start with you.
Well, I think, you know, because right now audio is the hot ticket item and, you know, everyone's looking at audio, I think if you really want to get into the space, you know, agencies and brands need to look at the entire audio journey. So that's combining, like I said earlier, the mass reach of radio. That's putting in that super targetability and contextual relevance with podcasts and streaming. but if you're going to use it, don't use it just to use it. You need to make sure that you have the proper creative that you're running for it. You don't want to just have a radio jingle that's on a podcast for true crime or something that you're getting really contextually relevant. You need to look at your creative, properly create that connection that audio does so well. I mean, when you look at audio as a whole and just the past of listening, starting out with radio way back in the day as one of your main advertising avenues, a lot of this stuff, you know, with theater, they didn't have TVs way back then. So they had to create that connection and that story in order for you to visualize. And I think it's important as audio grows that we look at that creative mindset, that we are creating, you know, that sound. How does your sonic branding, how does your brand sound? How does it stick out? Like when you listen to, we'll say Sleep Country Canada here in Canada, it used to always that jingle, Sleep Country Canada, why buy a mattress anywhere else? Yes, I just sung. You know, and now it's actually gone down to literally just the beat. And anywhere you hear that beat, you know that's a Sleep Country ad. And I think that's just perfect sonic branding. Or McDonald's, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. You just need to hear the beat. You need to really connect with the listeners on that and have the proper creative when you're thinking about the auto space.
You know, it's such a good point because, you know, many, I'm sure a lot of us on the call have faced this where, you know, you have clients who just want to, you know, for instance, jam a radio spot in a podcast, you know, and that doesn't work. And I think sometimes, you know, advertisers, agencies, brands, you know, everybody kind of forgets that you have to put the consumer journey first and the consumer experience, you know, and take off that marketing bias and lens that I think we have all the time. Sometimes where we're like, oh, they're going to like this. No, they're not going to like it. And it's going to show in your results. So really putting that consumer lens and making sure that the creative assets that you use are actually built for the media channel. And maybe it's because we're in marketing, but I can tell anytime I see a TV, like an OLV spot on YouTube, if it was the TVC, so the TV commercial jammed into YouTube. You know, there's a certain nuance, I think, to creative based on the platform that you're pushing that creative into that needs to be taken into account. And quickly going back to what you said earlier, Nick, about, you know, looking at that entire consumer audio journey and taking a layered approach and being holistic, who do you think is the more challenging party to convince? Is it agencies or is it clients?
I almost think it's a combination of both. I think right now we're at an amazing period that, you know, we see this boom. I think agencies need to get trained up and really know about the medium and really, you know, the do's and don'ts of the medium. And I think it's up to the agencies to be really properly communicating that too. The clients, and we need to get those preconceived notions out of the way, take the me out of marketing and really think about how to use that approach. I would say right now in Canada, there's a lot of interest on the client side, but they're scared to put their toes in. And like I had mentioned earlier, you know, from all around those markets around the world where audio has taken such a boom, that it's only a matter of time it's going to happen here in Canada. And we need to, right now is your test and learn time. Right now is that perfect sweet spot to see what works well for you. And you can play around, get creative, think outside the brand sell spot, you know, get that emotional connection with your local, you know, with radio being super local and with the DJs, you know, maybe custom contents. And you know, when you have a host read stuff on podcasts, make it organic. Maybe send them the product and let them touch it and feel it first so that they can speak to it organically. Because I'm telling you, when I hear a radio ad and a DJ going, blah, 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 you can totally hear it scripted. And I just find that's not as impactful if you actually made them speak organically to the product.
Yeah, I think it's so important because if you want to maintain, you know, we basically said, you know, audio listening was up, you know, spend was up in a lot of ways in order to keep, you know, that consumer happy, you know, and make sure that we are, you know, pulling the platform up and making sure that that activity and that consumption behavior stays with us past public, you know, pandemic state, then I think creative and looking at that journey is a really important thing to keep in mind. I'll throw the same question to you, Paul. You know, how, you know, what are the key things that brands, agencies, publishers, and buyers, sellers need to keep in mind to remain agile?
I think what the industry has done really well with audio is take learnings from both traditional media, but also social with respect to not just building an audience, but building a habit. And the habit of daily podcast listening and the kind of attachment that the user has to that habit, the strength of that attachment creates a permission structure for advertising. Now, if you get that balance wrong and abuse that permission structure, you know, we can all understand what happens. And so I totally agree with both of you that running the same spot on broadcast radio and then within an NPR podcast, for example, is unlikely to be the optimal deployment of those two or usage of those two environments. But at the same time, it's also not feasible for an advertiser to make 100 different dedicated spots across all these different verticals and formats of podcasts that we talked about earlier. So there's a real onus on the industry and particularly on the supply and ad tech side to enable sufficient scale such that we can, you know, close that monetization gap, that we can appropriately monetize the not just the audience, but as I said, the quality of the attention that the audience provides advertisers in this new digital audio environment. but do so, as I said, in a way that is within the threshold, and so takes learnings, like I said, from native advertising, the good type of native advertising, social, branded content, etc. And so that's I think the line, of course, that most new media have to kind of walk. We can see the same in gaming and how smart they've been in terms of, you know, virtual currency and generating revenue, you know, in innovative ways. And I think that from our vantage point, we believe in that very strongly. And we think that the industry is really well placed to pull it off and continue to drive and create new incremental value for audiences and consumers while also monetizing that audience base.
Right. I think, you know, one of our prior conversations, you stated it in a way that I thought was really compelling and kind of, you know, just hit the nail on the head. It's the idea of maintaining that ad value exchange that we've cultivated, especially in the podcast space. And I think that is so important because you have a newer medium that's is able to engage with people in a different way. And, you know, that kind of leads me to a sub question for you, Paul. So, you know, you're in the podcast space as well. And we know for podcasts, listeners find host reads, you know, that much more engaging, especially because the host can, you know, use their charm and charisma and freedom to have fun with the ad. And so it makes it feel very native and very immersive within the organic content. And so you also talked about programmatic and, you know, that rise of digitally inserted ads coming into programmatic buying. How do you think brands, agencies, and publishers can continue to harness the power of that host read?
So yeah, I think that what we'll see is a mix, and what we'll see, I think, more dynamic ad insertion, you know, across the spectrum, but particularly within podcasts. I think there will be a lot of diligence paid to where those ad breaks occur, and the ad load at large. And I think that there will be kind of, you know, sense. One will err on the side of caution and respect with that. And then, you know, from our side, we're investing a lot in dynamic host-read ads such that, you know, one VO session with a host can yield creative that can not just be relevant to individual users or listeners of that one podcast, but looking at it at a genre level, what host is recognizable to other audiences. It might not be the host of that particular podcast, but nonetheless, there's a connection. It's more relevant and ultimately less intrusive and respectful, like I said, of that value exchange that you talked about. So I think there are ways using the creative application of technology that we ultimately can kind of bake our cake and eat it in a way and generate a bit more, generate the meaningful scale without compromising substantially on the user experience, which right. is a great place to end up if we can get there.
Right. Why else bake your cake if you can't eat it too? Right. Okay. So last question, there's a minute left and this is a fun question. So we end it on a fun, light, you know, note. Nick, I'm going to throw to you first. Name the podcast that you're listening to right now. Name one.
Sword and Scale.
Nice.
I love true crime.
Nice. Paul, what about you?
How Long Gone Radio, a Spotify exclusive. Shout out to my boys.
Okay, so mine is Smartless. I love, you know, Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, Sean Hayes. Shout out to whoever is selling that show, because let us please start buying impressions for Canada. That's my nudge, because we can't do that now. And there are a lot of welcome listeners here. So great. Thank you, guys. This was very interesting, very intriguing. Great to hear your insights around podcasts and audio and the evolution post-pandemic. Thank you, guys. It was lovely to meet you.
Thank you so much.